This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
So it turns out that George Floyd and the cop who killed him were once co-workers at a club. Wait a second. Did they know each other? What's going on here? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli, Facebook.com/Cioli Show, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Remember, I started the show today by questioning the charges being elevated to second degree murder. But if somebody knows somebody and murders them with intent, that's just murder. That's like first degree murder. Could that be what we're talking about here? And if so, why are we not discussing that? Because that'd be the ultimate way to get this guy. Wouldn't the ultimate way to put away this cop once and for all would be to find out that he purposely murdered George Floyd? Not killed him because he's a racist cop in the course of doing his job and then abused his power over this poor man, but purposely murdered him, like set out to murder this man, which would be first degree murder, which would be goodbye for the rest of his life. Let me back up a second here. What's not being discussed enough is the fact that these two worked together at one point. This is from CBS News, the conspiratorial website CBS News. George Floyd and Derek Chauvin worked at the same club and may have crossed paths, the owner says. George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, the former police officer charged with killing Floyd, worked security at the same local clubs for much of the year before their fatal encounter at a Minneapolis street last week. The owner of El Nuevo Rodeo says that two men were in close proximity once a week for their Tuesday night shifts, though she did not know if they ever actually met while working at the club. By the way, this brings me to my social media check-in, because I was asked a question here by Jay on Twitter, who says, Rich, you just mentioned there's a divide over Mr. Floyd's death. Who's divided? I've yet to hear one talking head, left or right, say his murder was justified. No one thinks what happened was okay. I said from the beginning I thought the protest was misguided for that reason. Well, thank you, Jay, for that tweet. I agree with you. I don't think people are divided over his death. So why are we having all of these protests, riots, and everything else? It's because it's been about the quote-unquote systemic racism of policing. It's not about the death of George Floyd per se. We're told it's about something much bigger than that. And that's why there's all the protest, division, looting and rioting and everything else that's going on. And that's what I meant by division. I mean, you see it, you see America divided, you see it with your own eyes. That check-in on social media, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Please go visit them right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. They also are great friends of my family, and that's why I love driving the XC60. Got our kids nice and safe to and from our vacation in Maryland last week, which was great. So now if these two guys work together at the same club, isn't it possible that maybe there's something more here? What are the odds that George Floyd goes into a deli and then tries to pass a counterfeit $20 bill, which none of us even know what how would you know what a counterfeit bill is? Unless it's like Monopoly money. How would you even know necessarily? You could have one on you right now. Could have got it from someplace else. And then the police are called. Derek Chauvin winds up being the guy who responds, pulls this random guy out of his car, puts him on the street, puts his knee against his neck for almost 9 minutes and kills him. And just happens to be the guy that worked with him at this club, El Nuevo Rodeo. It's a really big coincidence, isn't it? Now, is it possible that maybe when Derek Chauvin got to the scene, he saw George Floyd, realized who it was, and that's what led to this? Is there maybe even more to the story? I don't know, but God, could we talk about that for 5 seconds? Maybe. This is from CNN. The officer had 18 previous complaints against him, the police department says. In other words, this guy should have been off the job a long, long time ago, right? He had a lot of complaints against him. Only two of the 18 complaints against Chauvin were closed with discipline, according to an internal public affairs summary. In both cases, the discipline-issued column indicated that a letter of reprimand had been issued in response. He was not the only officer on the scene that day with a history of complaints against him. Former officer To Tao had six complaints filed with internal affairs, one of which was still open, according to the public summary released Thursday. The other five complaints had been closed without discipline. The two other officers involved had no complaints against them. One officer was the subject of a lawsuit, excessive force lawsuit, settled by the city of Minneapolis, which is brought by Lamar Ferguson, who claimed in the suit that Tao and another officer subjected him to cruel and unusual punishment when they arrested him in October 2014. They used unreasonable force, including punches, kicks, and knees to the face and body while he was defenseless and handcuffed. And he suffered broken teeth, bruising, and trauma. The city would go on to pay him and his attorney $25,000 to settle the lawsuit. Now, we know that these cops had real problems here, and particularly Chauvin, who was 18 different complaints against him, 18 different instances of investigations and everything else. Okay. Now, I've been to some less than family type clubs in my life. Obviously, I think maybe we all have. And usually if you're working security at those places, like the security people are kind of tight with each other because, well, they have to be. I mean, if stuff gets real and they got to drag somebody out, if they got to go, you know, break up a fight, if they got to get, you know what I'm saying? Like they usually know each other. It's random that at a club like this, you'd have so much security. Like, we're not talking about security at the Link. Could I make an argument that somebody at the Link who's working security doesn't know another security officer? Yes, I could. There's so many people there. In the middle of a game, you got all thousands, tens of thousands of people there. I don't think every security officer knows every other security officer. You could make that argument, but this is a nightclub. They're there the same night. They're there every week the same night together, and other nights too, at the same Minneapolis nightclub. This is from CBS Minnesota. Again, the very conspiratorial site, CBS. George Floyd, Derek Chauvin. I'm pointing that out because this is not from Breitbart, Alex Jones. This is literally as mainstream media as you get. Did you even know this? Like, are you aware of this? George Floyd and former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin both worked as security guards at the same nightclub as recently as last year, but its former owner says she's not sure if they knew each other. What she is certain of is how aggressive Officer Derek Chauvin became when the club hosted events that drew a mainly black clientele, responding to fights by taking out his mace and spraying the crowd, a tactic that she told him was unjustified overkill. Quote, he would mace everyone instead of apprehending the people who were fighting, says Maya Santamaria, the former owner of El Nuevo Rodeo Club in Minneapolis. He would call backup. The next thing you know, there'd be five or six squad cars. While Chauvin's off-duty job at El Nuevo Rodeo stretched over 17 years until a few months ago, Floyd only started working recently as a bouncer and only worked about a dozen events put on by African-American protesters. Santa Maria, who sold the venue within the past 2 months, said she doesn't believe the two men knew each other prior to their fateful encounter Monday night. If Chauvin had recognized Floyd, she said, he might have given him a little more mercy. She said Chauvin got along well with the club's Latino regulars, but his tactics toward unruly customers and what she referred to as African-American nights led her to speak to him about it. I told him I thought this is unnecessary to be pepper sprayed. The knee-jerk reaction of being afraid, it seemed overkill, she said. It was a concern, and I did voice my opinion, but police officers have a way of justifying what they do. She said she was shocked to see the video of Chauvin pinning Floyd to the ground with his knee as Floyd complained that he couldn't breathe. Now, let me back up a second here. She says that this guy is violent. She says that this guy is over the top when it comes to force, particularly aimed at black customers and patrons, yet she kept him employed. And then she drops this bombshell, ready? Quote, when she saw the video, she saw him Chauvin with his knee on Floyd's neck. I thought he would have more of a conscience. Even if he is a bit racist, he's a human being. At what point does your humanity overpower your racial bias? Now, she knew this guy. Obviously, he worked for her. George Floyd worked for her. They're both there on these African-American nights when stuff got real. Now, so you're there on African-American night, and stuff gets real, and you've got to call for backup because you're beating people up and you're tear gassing people and you're doing all this stuff. Where's George Floyd during all this? They're there at the same events, according to the owner of the bar. Where's George Floyd? Now, it would be very easy for George Floyd to be mistaken with the members of the crowd, right? So he's probably wearing something that identifies him as club security. Was he not? So then, wouldn't he and Chauvin be working together in those moments to make sure that everything is okay to deal with the situation? Or do the bouncers who work there, the people that work security at the club, do they just go into the background when stuff like this happens? They just disappear. What if these two knew each other? What if these two had a history together? What if there's a whole lot more to the story than we realize here? What if this is legit first-degree murder? Like, what if this was really Derek Chauvin trying to kill George Floyd, intentionally trying to murder this man on the street under the guise of, well, he's just a guy who I got called to the scene and didn't even realize it was him. Does that seem like something that maybe makes your antenna go up a little bit? Now, obviously, if that's the case, then it shatters the whole idea of this being a random cop who saw a black person, had no soul, no humanity, did not view him as a person, and killed him accordingly because he had no soul and did not view George Floyd as a person because cops don't view black people as people in many instances. Because if Derek Chauvin saw George Floyd as George Floyd, as the guy he worked with at this club where you had all kinds of fights and the cops had to be called multiple times at these nights and other nights and they had a history together, is it just, oh, oops, the man that I accidentally had my knee on for 9 minutes, oops, was the same guy I worked security for at this club, worked security with at this club? I don't know. But again, if the goal here is to prove that this is a random event where this poor man was killed by a racist cop because this is America and we have racism and police are racist and everything like this, you can't have that conversation, right? Because that may be, like, he may still be racist and he should never have been wearing a badge and he's still a racist cop and there still are racist cops and that conversation has to be had, no question about it. Doesn't negate that. Like, you can have two conversations at once, right? He could still be a racist cop who never should have been a cop, who has 18 different times where he said, you have abuse of force and clearly the guy's a scumbag. Clearly the guy's a scumbag, corrupt cop who never should have been on the job. Clearly he should have been fired a long, long time ago, maybe even put in jail a long time ago, but maybe he and George Floyd had a history together. Maybe there's something more to the story here. Maybe something that would bear examination. Now, if that's the case, then it doesn't take away the other people who were killed randomly by cops just because these people were black, but it does then make it so that Derek Chauvin necessarily didn't just kill George Floyd because he's black. He killed George Floyd maybe because he's George Floyd. And then that raises all kinds of other questions, does it not? Now, I assume that if there's anything that connects these two beyond just happening to work the same nights at this club when they happen to have all these major incidents that happen or anything like this, I assume all that's going to come out. I would think so. I would think that this would all come out in trial, but I'm also wondering now why prosecutors did not go right for first-degree murder then, if that's the case. Was there an actual intent? This was Derek Chauvin purposely killing George Floyd? Not random African-American human being with rights who never should have been killed on the street, but George Floyd who never should have been killed on the street. You know what I'm saying? Purposely George Floyd. I don't know. Clearly, I don't know because this is not the stuff that we're really examining on the national media front. From the conspiratorial site ABC News, a white Minneapolis police officer and the black man he's charged with killing both worked as security guards at the same Latin nightclub as recently as last year. Okay, well, what do we know about El Nuevo Rodeo? What do we know about that club, by the way? What do we know about that club? And if it's a club that involves so many instances where Derek Chauvin had to get aggressive and mace people and call for backup and there'd be like six or seven squad cars come, can we all agree it's probably not Chuck E. Cheese? Like, can we agree on that point? Like, maybe it's not exactly the most family club. Like, maybe you don't take the kids to El Nuevo Rodeo. If they have to start macing people, if the owner's biggest complaint against the cop that she hires to do off-duty security for her is that he maces people too much, and an African-American night, he uses too much force and then calls up too much backup, probably not a kid's place. I think we can agree on that. Probably not a place Dawn would take her kids to. The boys would probably not be going there for dinner. Remember, no. I got her an Applebee's gift card. I did not get her a gift card to El Nuevo Rodeo.
That's right.
I'm just pointing that out.
Applebee's according is to good.
According to its website, it is actually a Mexican restaurant that looks like it turns into a nightclub at night. I'm going right off of the website on it.
Greg, I appreciate the fact that you can speak Spanish so well, because I'm looking at the website as well, and a lot of it's in Spanish, and I only took 5 years, and I can't, like, Eventos. The hell does that mean? Galleria? Hello? Video? Excuse me. Can somebody help me with that? So, Greg, now I'm looking at this now. So, in other words, it's a Mexican restaurant by day and then a Latin nightclub at night. Is that correct?
I mean, I'm assuming, it's in Minneapolis, so I don't know. But I'm looking at pictures, and it does look like it is a Mexican restaurant during the day. And there's a section that turns into a club at night.
They have a wonderful tequila selection. Greg, have you ever heard that tequila might make people a little bit aggressive? They have Noches Latinas, todos los viernes, every Friday, and then karaoke cada domingo. Oh, that looks very, very nice. You must be 21 or older to enter. Hmm. So the club has got tequila, it's got musical acts, it's a nightclub, it's at night. There's alcohol served. Interesting. You ever been to one of those places, Greg?
No. Yes, I have actually, but it was a Chinese buffet during the day, and it turned into a rock club at night.
Really? A Chinese buffet that turned into a rock club?
Yeah, it was in Clinton, New Jersey, back in like the late 90s.
Hmm. It wasn't the Chicken House, was it?
No, it was King's Buffet, I think it was called.
Wow, look at that.
Also, it looks like there's they have country night too, because there's a bunch of guys in plaid shirts and cowboy hats playing to a pretty raucous crowd, it looks like.
Dawn, is this where you like these places for date night, right? You and Larry to places like this?
No.
Get away from the kids, no?
No.
Have you heard about this, that these two might have worked together?
Yes, but we've heard about it, but there's no evidence that they, it's just, it is very interesting what you're saying. The only thing I think too, you look at George Floyd was this 6'7" tall, really athletic guy.
Yeah.
And Chauvin was a short little guy. So I always think maybe there was something with the big guy and the little guy, and if they worked together as bouncers. I don't know, like a Napoleon thing. I don't know. I mean, we could be
a Napoleon complex. I don't know why I got to bring short people into it, but okay.
I hesitate. No, nothing personal against short guys.
Now, Greg is a frequent patron of these kind of seedy establishments. In your experience, Greg, do you think that the security guards all know each other at these places?
Well, to your point, if this was like the Link, then obviously no. Or if this was Wells Fargo Center or a place that held concerts, no. But in small places like this, usually the bouncers or security does know each other. Now, I'm not saying these two know each other. I have no idea.
Right.
But usually in these situations, it's a tight-knit group. Like, you know, they're all on walkie-talkie with one another, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I would assume that
they're on walkie-talkie together. They're all going, hey, who's this? It's Bobby. Bobby who? we haven't met yet. I'm 10 feet away from you.
Right. And we know that George Floyd worked there for at least, what, five? We're hearing five plus years.
And Chauvin worked there 17 years.
Right.
Now, Greg makes it a point to not meet his coworkers, Dawn. You know that, right?
Oh, all the time.
Like,
all
he makes time. it a specific point to never interact with anybody in the building. He's loving this fact that he's got to work from home now. He loves this. But really, if you work at a place for 5 years together with somebody, even if it's only one night a week, at the same night where you've got a call for backup because, you know, S gets real, you probably might at least be like, hey, what's up? You know, like at least like right. maybe something like that. Right.
And it's hard to miss George Floyd. I mean, there aren't many guys, you know, 6'7". This is a big guy. So it's kind of hard to miss him. Right.
Now, Greg, since you are a frequent patron of these seedy establishments, are there ever drugs at these places, Greg?
I'm sure there are, but there. I mean, I don't know if there's drugs at this establishment. If that's what you're asking me,
I mean these places. I mean these kind of places where there's music and there's people and nightclubs and alcohol and like are there I ever mean, is there ever sure. an instance where anyone there ever does drugs?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
Sells drugs or buys drugs there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Bill, have you ever been to one of these seedy establishments? You as a millennial, I know that for you, this may be a new front for you.
No, I mean, I shouldn't say always. I've been in a similar scenario as Greg. You just kind of end up at these places when you're in college with your buddies. You're just like, oh,
I just ended up at a strip club.
Yeah.
Look where I am right now. This is totally random how I got here, honey.
You accidentally leave a buddy there. That didn't happen at my bachelor party at all.
With these places too, like from my experience, and again, my experiences was 20 years ago, but like in my experience, like usually like Thursday night they had, you know, it was like Latin dance night, and then Friday night it was like rock night, and then Saturday night. So there were different themes and different, you know, stuff going on each night. So maybe one of them worked the Thursday night and one of them worked a Friday night, and maybe they worked the same time there but never overlapped. I don't know. But yeah. that could be a possibility too. But
yeah, go ahead.
No. But the fact that they, even if they work there to get, even if they didn't work on the same nights, that they wouldn't know each other. I don't know.
Right. By the way, we're doing an hour of nonstop talk. We're not taking a break. So feel free to weigh in on this 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay, let's see here now. Lance asked me, if Floyd knew Chauvin, wouldn't Floyd have called out his name while being choked? Well, maybe that's part of the reason why the knee was on the neck. I don't know. Maybe he would start to and he'd press harder. I have no idea. Like, those are questions that you want to ask if they didn't know each other. James R. Layton says, a concert photographer who works with security, Latin events are the most violent that he's encountered, not the African-American events, the Latin events. Interesting. Jack Gallagher says, what were the racial elements in this case that made the cop a racist? There are similar examples, only people weren't black. All I know is what the owner of the club said, who said that he seemed to become particularly aggressive with black people. In other words, he could still be a racist, but may have killed George Floyd personally. You could still be both at the same time. You could be a racist who kills George Floyd personally because of some other reason besides just the fact that he's black, right? I mean, there could be something else to it. That could be also a thing with the other thing. It doesn't have to be separate, is my point. But if he does know George Floyd, if he did know George Floyd, I should say, before he killed him, and there was another motivation to that, then it may not just be a racist cop killing an unknown black man for the purposes just because he's black, and the officer is just this huge racist and they just wanted to, you know, oh, black man, I just see a black person and I'm just going to kill him, and he has no human life value in my eyes. Because then it just completely changes the story. Derek Chauvin should never have been a police officer. He was an awful, awful guy. Clearly 18 different times the guy abused force, and there were all kinds of questions about his character and everything else. But Milwaukee's a big city, right? It's not like a small town. So, I mean,
Minneapolis.
Yeah. Thank you, Dawn. Is a big city. So, like, right. I don't know. Why does he get the call? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something else that makes me question this. We know another, at least two other cops in the Three Blind Mice, at least one of the cops in that group also had a bunch of different instances where he had, investigations, internal affairs investigations against him. I'm just wondering something. How is it that Derek Chauvin gets the call to respond to this bodega guy calling about this guy with the $20 bill, all this being random. Like, it's a lot of randomness, Greg, isn't it? To just all happen like this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I you know, like, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting story. And again, your points, like, you're reading these stories off of CBS News and ABC News. Like, we're not just bringing this up out of nowhere. You know, these are, you know, major news sources that are, that have put this theory out
CNN,
there.
CNN, CBS, KSTP TV. Yes, these are all major Forbes, news sources.
Yeah, Forbes was one of the ones that had it too. Yeah, Forbes, so it's you know, like, are there coincidences in life? Sure. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It is. That would be one hell of a coincidence.
Yes. Yeah, Minneapolis. I mean, that's where that's where I went to college. It's a huge, it's a major metropolitan, you know, city in America. I find it hard to believe that these two guys didn't know each other when they worked together that many years at this restaurant bar. I find that hard to believe that they didn't know each other. At least to recognize, you know, maybe they're not friends or buddies or whatever, but come on, that would be hard to.
It's freaking impossible. Let's just say it. Come on.
Yeah.
There's no way these two didn't know who each other. Come on. This place is, like I said, if it's the Link or if it's Citizens Bank Park, maybe. Right. But even if after 5 years, because where's the break room, right? Like, it's not like the security guards and the cop working outside. They don't hang out with the general public. Like, there's a back room, right?
Right.
There's usually the break room or the locker room where they put on their uniforms or something. I imagine in a club like this, there's a place for them to go and take a little break so they don't have to mingle with the people they're about to, you know, kick ass and drag outside the front door, right?
Exactly. And usually in those break rooms at a restaurant like that, they give those employees, because they work a long shift and a lot of times it's late, so they give them food. There's food back there in that break room. So that's very common. So
now here's another question I have. Where does counterfeit money get passed in life, in your opinion?
It's happened to me. They take that yellow pen and it's like a yellow marker across the bill. We have it all the time in Philadelphia. No. At regular stores.
No. That's the answer he's looking for, because it happens. Nightclubs is usually where these counterfeit bills happen.
But
because
have you guys wait? Are you literally not watching Ozarks?
Of course, yeah.
Whether or Breaking Bad, like if you've got to deal with either dirty money or you got to pass counterfeit money, where do you do it to mix it into the general population?
Yeah.
You do it at strip clubs, car washes, nightclubs, right?
Yes. Yeah, places that are usually like a cash, you know, a cash heavy place.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
When this story first happened last week, you know, I was on vacation. I was trying to disconnect, right? I'm trying to unplug and be with the kids and everything like this. So initially I got really mad. I was like, over a freaking $20 counterfeit bill? Like, how does anyone even know what a counterfeit bill is? You know how you know what a counterfeit bill is, Dawn?
The yellow
if
marker.
You're a counterfeiter. Oh.
No, but it was, did you hear the 911 call? The person calls and just goes, yeah, this guy, because they use the yellow marker on the thing. This has happened to me before. It happens. And then he goes, yeah, so I went out, he bought cigarettes with it, and he won't give me the cigarettes back. But the guy's just like, I think he's a little drunk or something. He's sitting outside by his van. So the 911 caller was like, this was not a non-violent. This was not a violent allegation,
right?
Do you know what I'm saying? The 911 caller is actually pretty laid back.
And, okay, so
in a shop where this was like where he just bought cigarettes.
Okay, so then, how long was the response time for the officers to get there? And then
I think it was pretty quick, but they found the guy right out. You know, like right outside. I don't have a report that there was a fight or resisting arrest.
No.
And in fact, the autopsy shows some fentanyl in the victim's system, in Mr. Floyd's system. But there was
so they
fentanyl.
Pull him out, and they pull him right down to the ground.
Yes.
It was like immediate.
Yes.
It was like immediate. The knee goes on the neck. It was like there was no even, you know, sir, you know, how are you? Can I see the cigarettes? Can I, you know, breathalyze? It was like bring him down, knee on the neck, he's dead in 8.5 minutes.
Right. Yeah, because because he's such a big guy, and these officers were trying to at first get him in the, but he was out of it. And they said, are you on something? That according to the police reports. So they knew he was on something, but they couldn't get him to get in the back of the vehicle because he's such a huge guy.
So now in these shows that I'm watching in my quarantine and my binge watching, one of the shows I've been watching is Ozarks. Bill, you love Ozarks, right?
Great show.
Greg, you don't like Ozarks, do you?
No, I love it. No,
oh, you
it's,
do? Oh, Spike oh, yeah, didn't yeah. like it, right? Yeah,
yes,
you like it.
Yeah, yeah. Spike said it was not a good show, but he's wrong.
Now, so. Doesn't Marty Boyd literally buy a strip club for the purposes of just being able to pass all this money around?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
One of several things he tries to buy.
Walter White bought a car wash, right, to try to deal with this money. So whether it's counterfeit money or it's dirty money, you got to find a way to get it out there. You got to find a way to be able to keep it from the federales, and you got to find a way to just have random people get. You got to find ways to do these things. Otherwise, it's going to be very easy to catch you if you drive around with pallets of counterfeit bills, right, or pallets of dirty money. I mean, there's a reason why you launder this stuff, isn't there?
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be an investigation as to if it was counterfeit, where it originated, and was Mr. Floyd paid in cash in part by this club? So the club could be incriminated. You know, they're investigating all this.
Well, thank God we've never had instances where either security guards or off-duty cops working at nightclubs or strip clubs have ever been involved with either drugs or counterfeit money in their entire... That's never happened.
Never.
Ever. Thank God for that. Right, Greg? Am I making a misstatement here? I always want to make sure I back up my statements here.
It's not true.
All right, so maybe like one time in the history of seedy nightclubs and strip clubs and places where there's tequila, maybe one time like a security guard or an off-duty cop might have been involved in drugs and or counterfeits. Well, these places are never involved with organized crime. That is a fact. Fact, write it down.
No.
These places are never associated with organized crime, ever.
Not true. Fake news.
Well, it's all just a big freaking coincidence. What are you going to do? Oh, man, I quit. That's it. I'm done. I'm out. Get Opelka back. I'm done. I'm out.
Stop.
No.
No, I'm out. I'm done. This is just too amazing.
You can't just quit.
I can't just quit in the middle of the show?
No.
But I love that you're focusing on this because all the networks are, you know, interviewing the Reverend Al Sharpton today and talking about others. You know,
Look, Derek Chauvin was an awful, obviously the guy's a scumbag of the highest order. That makes me think he's even more of a scumbag. The fact that he had 18 different charges against him and killed George Floyd in the street makes it more likely in my book, this guy's even dirtier than we think, than we know, right?
Yeah, your point in this is not to lessen what happened. It's to actually make it more egregious and make
this guy's bad lieutenant. This guy's Harvey Keitel in the movie. This guy is using his badge to commit crimes.
Allegedly.
This is a bad dude using his badge as cover for being a criminal.
Allegedly.
It's even allegedly. Yes, Dawn. Thank you. Allegedly. It's even more of a reason why we got to get guys like this off the streets. But it's different. It's a different narrative than the narrative that's being pushed out there right now, which is random, senseless, because he just saw a black man. No, he might have just seen George Floyd, and there might be more to the story than that. He still is a racist scumbag, criminal, crooked scumbag who never should have been on the job in the first place and should be behind bars for the rest of his life, probably, allegedly, right? I mean, innocent until proven guilty. But there just may be a whole lot more to the story than just the color of the man's skin,
right,
is my point. All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm going to go run a lap. And,
no, you can't run a lap. We're in the middle of no commercials.
Yeah, who wanted this hour of nonstop talk
you,
anyway?
You.
Plus, yes, you
trust me.
Run a lap?
Trust me. Sales didn't want it. Trust me.
Where are you going to
run a lap? They don't listen anymore either. So, yes, Dawn, you're trying to say?
No, I was just trying to say where. Where are you trying to run a lap around what the above ground pool?
In my WT pool,
crib?
Which is freezing right now. My WT pool, very cold. Because I got to fill with a garden hose.
You should get a heater for it. Can you imagine how white trash would that be? It'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing. That'd be awesome. I spent $300 on the pool, $3,000 on a heater for it. Be a very smart financial decision right there. All right, 855-839-1210. By the way, the big story of the day today, which we're discussing right now, is the The charges against the police officers have been upgraded now in Minnesota to second-degree murder. But my question is this actually first-degree murder we're talking about here? Just how bad of a cop is this Chauvin guy? That's what I'm wondering. The big story of the day today brought to you by DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo is here for you if you want privacy on the internet, the same internet, but with the privacy that you're looking for. Then you need to check out DuckDuckGo, all right? DuckDuckGo is privacy for you. Stop with those trackers. I'm done with those people. I'm really tired of it. DuckDuckGo. All right.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, let's say good morning to Dawn and check in today on this Thursday. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning. We may have some afternoon severe storms, so I'll get to the forecast, the all-important forecast, in just a moment. We have 72 degrees right now. Zeoli Show News Live, sponsored by Enlightened Solutions. There is so much going on with hundreds of thousands of people without power. We have the crews out working across our region to restore power. Hopefully, I'm looking at the PICO website and Chestnut Hill and surrounding areas. Still no traffic lights, no power, nothing. So you think of all of these people stuck at home, working from home, no power, kids being homeschooled, no power. And then, of course, the fridge and the freezer stocked. No power. A lot of spoiling food. So
a lot of spoiling food, which you might need for the end of the world.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to restock the end of the world. You got to get a generator for that, right?
Yeah. One of those home generators, I guess. I don't know.
I don't want to be the house with a generator because then you feel obligated to take everybody in.
Yeah. One of my neighbors has it. I'm like, they're the perfect neighbors. So we have all of that going on. And we're told from all the power companies, they're working as quickly as they can. Although PICO is reporting they can't even confirm all the power outages right now. So we know nearly 200,000. It may be more than that across our region, not just the Philadelphia suburbs and so on, but also South Jersey. So a lot of people without power this morning. And we know that this turned deadly tragically. A lot of people were on the roads. So when I talk about the forecast later, they're really warning that when you have these high winds and these storm warnings, you want to get off the road, because we actually had trees falling that in at least two instances, people were in their vehicles and these trees fell on their vehicles, killing them. So you really want to think about that. Get off the road when these kinds of severe storms, when there are warnings that these are going to hit. We talked a lot about this Minneapolis former and now fired police officer, Derek Chauvin. So I thought I would mention something interesting that has been revealed. His wife, Kelly Chauvin, she has filed for divorce she filed for divorce May 28th after her husband was charged with murder and the death of George Floyd. She was crowned the 2018 Mrs. Minnesota title. So she's a beauty queen. They were married 10 years. She was a child refugee from Laos. So she is an Asian lady. Her maiden name happens to be Tao, which is also the same name as one of the fired officers now accused and charged in the murder of Mr. George Floyd. So her attorney came out and said, look, she is no relation to this officer. She's had death threats. She wants to go on with her life, but she has filed for divorce and wants the titles of both of their homes, the primary residence in Minnesota. They own a home. They own two homes together. They also own a vacation home in Orlando, Florida. So she's a realtor, and she released a statement saying she's devastated by Mr. Floyd's death, and her utmost sympathy lies with Floyd's family as well as his three children. So that interesting, that little tidbit of the wife who wants to change her name, and she's already distanced herself from her. Yeah. So
she's not standing by her man, right?
She's not, and it looks like they had some money there, because they have the two homes and that sort of thing. So that will continue to unfold. Locally, we had talked about all these explosions across Philadelphia, and a lot of you were even tweeting out in the middle of the night. Did you hear that explosion? That what is going on? So we had more than 100 ATM explosions over the past week. Now a suspect is under arrest, accused of selling dynamite that's linked to some of these 100 ATM explosions that have rattled our region. So the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office announcing these charges against a guy named Tlaib Crump, who's accused of selling dynamite sticks on social media and then allegedly told undercover police officers during a sting operation that dynamite sticks are better than bullets for robbing. So that announcement that this guy is under arrest and facing very serious charges, as you can imagine. All right, this news is sponsored by Enlightened Solutions, drug and alcohol detox and treatment center, compassionate experts, really here to explore proven treatment options with you or your family. Thousands trusting their process. Now time for you to do the same. Visit ES215.com, ES215.com. And we have the NBC10 First Alert Forecast. And we do have some severe weather in the way, and this is sponsored by Hint Water. So today, tomorrow, and Saturday, we're looking at nearly 90-degree weather, very steamy, very humid days as these crews are cleaning up and that sort of thing. And then we have about 5 p.m., we are looking at the possibility of, yes, more severe storms moving through. Tomorrow, much the same, I know, as if. And then Saturday, not a chance for severe storms, but still showers on Saturday. Sunday, we finally get some relief. So we're still in the 80s on Sunday, but it's going to be beautiful, sunny, and far less humidity. And this weather sponsored by Hint, pure water infused with surprisingly fruit flavors, watermelon, blackberry, cherry, no sugar, sweeteners, or calories. Available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint, water with a touch of true fruit flavor. I'm Dawn, Silly Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in. 855-839-1210. Looking at other news today besides this connection between George Floyd and Chauvin, the officer who killed him, let's look at some other things, shall we? First of all, on the Bill de Blasio is an idiot front. Uniting America in the idiocy of Bill de Blasio and his absolute incompetence. The New York City mayor yesterday decided to quote a little bit of a song.
Oh, boy.
Take a listen. Cut two.
Final point I'd make. I understand. I don't mean to make light of this, but I'm reminded of the song Imagine by John Lennon.
Oh, God.
I played it at my inauguration.
Oh,
I think everyone who hears that song in its fullness thinks about, what about a world where people got along differently? What about a world where we didn't live with a lot of the restrictions that we live with now? But we're not there yet. We are making a lot of progress, I truly believe. I believe the protest movements themselves, the peaceful protest, is the essence of how we make progress. The reforms made within the NYPD are progress, deep progress. But for folks who say defund the police, I would say that is not the way forward.
Now, Cuomo's favorite line from the song Imagine. Imagine there's no mayor. It's easy if you try. That's the governor's favorite line from that. It's easy if you try. I would displace you.
By the way, his... Wow. His constituents lit him up on Twitter after.
Did they really?
Oh, my God. It was just like, you know, all the people that you would think voted for him or have the same ideals as he did was just like, how completely tone deaf can you be? So my point in pulling that was because yesterday you said, like, nobody likes Bill de Blasio. I mean, he's so tone deaf when it comes to everything. It's unbelievable.
Really, I'm telling you, it's the only thing uniting America right now is everybody goes, yeah, he's an idiot. Yeah, he's an absolute moron. Bill de Blasio. Imagine you're not mayor.
No.
Imagine I displace you.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, 855-839-1210. Now, on the national front, there was a whole lot of things that blew up yesterday around the president of the United States and the defense secretary, Mark Esper. And this is all about that Lafayette Park incident where tear gas was not used, but a gaseous compound that makes people cry was used. The whole thing is a mess. And it appears as if the person who gave the order to clear all of that was the Attorney General Bill Barr. It appears apparently that it was Ivanka Trump's idea to have the president make the walk across the street. So the fact that this is what everybody's talking about now makes Ivanka not happy. When Ivanka's not happy, the president's not happy. And then, so I'm just saying, Bill Barr, I'm not a big fan of this guy, as you know. I think he's all talk. And, you know, he didn't do a damn thing to help any of us in this area as we were being trapped. It still hasn't, by these totalitarian governors who will refuse to allow us our liberty to be able to go to church, be able to own our business, operate a business. Nothing. He's done nothing. The guy is all talk. He's a big blabbity mouth, this Bill Barr. It's all he is. He's a swamp creature talk machine is what he is. And so it looks like he's the one that gave the order now to have everybody clear the protesters out. It doesn't matter what they used. It's bad optics. It makes the president look bad, and it completely diminishes everything. And it wasn't Trump who gave the order. It was Bill Barr who gave the order. And I'm not excusing anything that took place there. And I don't want to debate what was used, what wasn't used. It was bad optics. It was horrible. Not a single person in that White House right now who thinks that worked out the way they wanted it to. Not a single one. So us debating all of it and the merits and the moving the people and this and that and the other thing never would happen. I'm telling you this right now. Every single person in the president's inner circle did not want it to go like that. That was never what they wanted it to be. But Bill Barr gave the order, so they had to be cleared. And then when you got to clear people, it's not pretty. It's not pretty to clear people. So that's what happens when you got to clear people. It gets ugly. It gets messy. And that's exactly what happened here. It got ugly and messy. Now, Mark Esper, this guy's a real squiggly little guy here. He's trying to make it clear that he didn't know exactly why he was going over there. But he also said he disagrees with the president of the United States that federal troops should not be used here. Now, look, here's the problem that I have with this, okay? When the defense secretary comes out and publicly disagrees with the commander-in-chief, it's very problematic for a number of reasons, but particularly problematic because in this country, the commander-in-chief is the president. That's how it goes. And whether or not we like it, that's the system. The defense secretary doesn't get a veto. He doesn't get the ability to override the president. It's not, we don't live in a military style government. We live in a republic. And whether you like it or not, the defense secretary works for the president. He can advise the president. He can give the president his opinions, but he can't override him. And so knowing that, then when he comes out and says he disagrees, he's only doing that to make the situation worse. He's only, because now it's even more incumbent on the president to show everybody that he can do it. I mean, you know how Trump is. It's like you tell him he can't do something, he wants to do it 10 times more. So I really don't like when this stuff happens. You know, and I've long said that I think one of the problems that these people have with Trump is that there's no new wars. I mean, we're not going in, we're not invading any places anymore. And so they all don't like him. They just haven't liked him for a long time. Now, I didn't hear, maybe I'm missing something here, but I didn't hear the president say he wanted to use federal troops to break up protesters. I heard him say he wanted to use federal troops to be able to protect minority businesses, minority communities. So it was what I heard. I heard him talk about how the looting and the violence that was happening was destroying largely poor and minority areas, and he wanted to send in troops to protect that, which is authorized under the Insurrection Act, and it's been done before. And that's what I heard. I didn't hear him say, I'm going to send in the troops to break up the protests. I'm going to send in the troops to make protesters go home. But the problem is that then you have those bad optics of everybody getting moved out of Lafayette Square Park. So the whole thing got conjoined and the media does their thing where the media comes out and goes, look what a monster. Look at how bad this is. I'd be the first person to say troops should not be out there breaking up protests. But I didn't hear that that's what the president said. I mean, I listened to it a few times, too, just to make sure that that's not what he said. Like, I'm going to send in the army to make sure you stay in your homes and can't go out and protest. I didn't hear that. I heard him say he's going to, if they don't stop the looting and the violence, if the states can't stop it, I'll use my authority under the Insurrection Act to stop it using federal troops. Now, look, presidents have federalized the National Guard before for instances where they've had to take authority over the states. Again, I brought up the famous example the other day of when Dwight Eisenhower had to do it to make sure that those little kids got escorted into the schools in Arkansas. He had to federalize the National Guard. He had to do that so that they would then answer to him and not the governor, who was a racist and wouldn't let the kids go to school. Is that, I mean, in hindsight, do we look back on that and say the federal troops should not have been involved there, that the kids should not have been allowed to go in violation of federal law, that the state should have been allowed to keep the schools from being integrated? Is that, like, in hindsight, 2020, like Ike was wrong? Because if the left wants to say that, go ahead. Make that argument. Democrats and liberals make the argument that Dwight Eisenhower blew it when he sent in the federal troops to escort those kids into the schools. Make the argument. I'd love to hear you make that argument. Could you do that for me, please? Could you just come on, come on, come on, please? Because I think Dwight Eisenhower is absolutely right. What choice did he have? He's the commander in chief. But he's the president. He has to take the takes an oath, take care that the laws are faithfully executed. And so, what choice does he have if the laws are not faithfully executed, and these students have to go to school? And he got a racist governor there who won't let him go to school. So, and he's got his National Guard that he controls as governor blocking the entrances to the school. Like, what was Eisenhower supposed to do? All right, nothing. So please make the argument for me why federal troops being involved in that was absolutely inappropriate. I'd love to hear it. 855-839-1210. Go ahead. I'll give you as much time as you want. Make the argument for me. Now, if you want to make it from a small government constitutional perspective, you're wrong on that too, because ultimately the president has the legal authority under this act to be able to do this. And it doesn't violate posse comitatus, because the troops are not doing law enforcement functions. They are making sure that constitutional rights are defended and protected. I said this the other day. There's a difference between the military serving search warrants and acting like the police force and the military standing guard to keep an oppression, to keep like an insurrection from happening. So I heard the president say he wanted to make sure that those minority businesses in those neighborhoods were protected and safe. I didn't hear him say I'm sending in the Army and the Marines to make sure that people can't protest, stay in your homes. I must have missed that, I guess. This is the big story of the day, by the way, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. If you want privacy on the internet, DuckDuckGo is where you go, because you don't want to be tracked on the internet. I don't want you to be tracked on the internet. DuckDuckGo, same internet, but privacy for you. Download it today, DuckDuckGo. This is Mark Esper, the Secretary of Defense. Cut one.
Last night, a story came out based on a background interview I did earlier in the day. It focused on the events last Monday evening in Lafayette Park, and I found it to be inaccurate in parts. So I want to state very clearly for all to hear my account of what happened that Monday afternoon. I did know that following the president's remarks on Monday evening, that many of us were going to join President Trump and review the damage in Lafayette Park and at St. John's Episcopal Church. What I was not aware of was exactly where we were going when we arrived at the church and what the plans were once we got there. It was also my aim, and General Milley's, to meet with and thank the members of the National Guard who were on duty that evening in the park. It is something the president likes to do as well. The path we took to and from the church didn't afford us that opportunity, but I was able to spend a considerable amount of time with our guardsmen later that evening as I moved around the city to many of the locations at which they were posted. I also want to address a few other matters that have been raised about that evening. First, National Guard forces did not fire rubber bullets or tear gas into the crowd, as reported. Second, guardsmen were instructed to wear helmets and personal protective equipment for their own protection, not to serve as some form of intimidation. Third, military leaders, including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, were wearing field uniforms because that is the appropriate uniform when working in a command center and meeting with troops in the streets. Fourth, it wasn't until yesterday afternoon that we determined it was a National Guard helicopter that hovered low over a city block in D.C. Within an hour or so of learning of this, I directed the Secretary of the Army to conduct an inquiry to determine what happened and why, and to report back to me.
Okay, now, Esper went on to say that he did not believe that federal troops should be used. He didn't believe it rises to that point of now using the federal troops. First of all, leaving the what happened at the Lafayette Park aside for a second, because again, I don't think it should have gone down like that. I don't care what the, I don't care. Listen, I don't care the whys, how to move the crowd. Listen, when you involve the president and he's trying to do a photo op and you haven't walked across the street because he wants to project something, but you have that happen beforehand, that's all everybody's going to talk about. It completely, in fact, in some ways makes it counterproductive to have the president leave the White House at that moment. So it was a mess. And if Bill Barr is the one responsible for that, and I'm Jared Kushner, I want answers. You know what I'm saying? If I'm Mark Meadows, I want answers today. I want big answers on that. Couldn't have waited till curfew? You know, couldn't have done this tomorrow morning? Like, you know what I mean? Because it's all everybody's talking about. But that's a separate issue from the idea of using federal troops. Let me ask this question. If people's civil rights are not being protected, civil liberties are not being protected because you have chaos and they're mostly black businesses and people are breaking in and they're looting and they're stealing and people are getting killed and people are getting hurt. And the state's not doing anything about that. You clearly have a violation of these people's 14th Amendment rights happening right in front of your face. Should the president not do it? I'll ask a better question. Let me ask this question. Say the KKK rode into town and the KKK decided to start looting black owned businesses and you had a racist governor, right? And the racist governor says, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about it. I'm stretched too thin. Sorry. Calls up the National Guard, but the National Guard, they're not allowed to actually do anything about it. KKK is going around, they're smashing buildings. If the president at that moment calls the governor and says, listen, you racist jackass, I'm going to federalize the National Guard and have them go and protect these businesses on my orders, protect these people on my orders. If you don't do it, would everybody go, oh my God, he's sending the army in. Oh my God. The army's coming in. Would that be the reaction you'd have in that moment? Or would you say like, thank God. Thank God the president is taking care that the laws are being faithfully executed and the Constitution's being protected because all these black people have the 14th Amendment right to not have to have the Klan come and smash their windows. Well, they also have the 14th Amendment right not to have their own neighbors and people from outside of their neighborhoods come in and smash their businesses. And if the governors are not doing anything about it, what is the president supposed to do? Nothing? Are you cool with that? See, when you get beyond the whole hysteria of sending in the army and you go, well, but why are we sending in the army though? We're sending the army to force people to stop peacefully assembling under the First Amendment. Is that what we're doing? No, we're not doing that. We're sending in the army to keep people in their homes so they can't go out and peacefully assemble. No, we're not doing that either, huh? So we're going to send in the army because the state is not doing its job to defend the constitutional rights of these individuals. And under the 14th Amendment, they have the same federal rights, whether the state likes it or not. I guess I have more questions than answers for you today. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Or maybe my questions are the answers. It's the Zioli Show.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.